Welcome back to Steel Belted Radio tonight, everybody. Thanks for being here. We are pre-recorded tonight. Couldn't be with you, but thanks for stopping in. Before the break, we were playing some classics that we hadn't heard in a while and just having some fun. There's a few things I want to get to today, and they have something in common. They're not Canadian, and we like to play the CanCon here. We like to abide by that rule that we're supposed to play CanCon. In fact, I like to go above and beyond. So I'm going to play a bunch of classics right now, and they have two things in common. A, they're Canadian, and two, they're all really short. You see, if I fit in a whole bunch of really short Canadian songs, then I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the show. So here goes. Let's play you something short, something Canadian, and something good. You're listening to Steel Belted Radio.
An amblin', ramblin', gamblin' son of a gun, and I needed, bleeded, feeded on women and rum, till I woke up from a fight to the most amazing light. Now the only friends that matter are father and son. Oh well, I know that I have faltered, yeah, I know that I have sinned, I know that I have had my share of cigarettes and gin. But I got only one life and I won't be back again. So I got myself together and I turned my back on men. I was an amblin', ramblin', gamblin' son of a gun, and I needed, bleeded, feeding on women alone, till I woke up from a fight to the most amazing light. Now the only friends that matter are father and son. Father and son, oh, the only friends that matter are father and son.
Well, thump, thump, my heart went bump when I saw the pretty girl down at the dump. Ain't too skinny, she ain't too plump, works at the weigh scale down at the dump. Where do I put these shingles? I asked her with a grin. She told me an attendant would show me the right bin. Well, thump, thump, my heart went bump when I saw the pretty girl down at the dump. Ain't too skinny, she ain't too plump, works at the weigh scale down at the dump. I go there every morning with my garbage can, and if she don't refuse me, I'll be her garbage man. Thump, thump, my heart went bump when I saw the pretty girl down at the dump. Ain't too skinny and she ain't too plump, works at the weigh scale down at the dump. I never send my garbage in no garbage truck. There's a gal down at the dump that I want to take to dinner. Thump, thump, my heart went bump when I saw the pretty girl down at the dump. Ain't too skinny and she ain't too plump, works at the weigh scale down at the dump. Yeah, she works at the weigh scale down at the dump.
I once was living life took a turn, became a needle in the hay, needle in the hay, needle in the hay. Forever I'll be lost, like a needle in the shade of gray, getting darker every day. I'm a needle in the hay. There's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can say. I'm bound to pay the cost as a needle in the hay. goes a girl astray. It'll find me when I die. Burn the needle in the hay. Needle in the hay. Needle in the hay. Forever I'll be lost like a needle in the
We both went to him together, dressed ourselves in lace and leather, and our hands were sad. It is a life and limb to be here. We both knew when we beseeched him that our children might kneel together, repaid it as we'd won. I think I might.
That right there is how you bang out some Can Con. Right there. Great song. See, it's a shameless little trick, but it sounded so good you don't mind. That's Swank there off their fantastic record, The Survival Issue. We heard The Innocent at Rock Creek. Something in there from The Wooden Sky. We heard Angels from their album If I Don't Come Home, You'll Know I'm Gone. Something from Reed Jameson, Grass and Dirt from The Unavoidable Truth. Man, that was a good record. So from right here in Winnipeg, we heard The Magnificent Sevens with Needle in the Hay from their All Kinds of Mean record. A classic from Washboard Hank, The Love Song of the Dump. You just got to have some more Washboard Hank in your life. And Matthew Barber, Father and Son, from his Songs for the Haunted Hillbilly. I think that song's about a minute and 27 seconds long. It's perfect. Perfect for what we want to do. And the reason I'm rushing, I want to play a bunch of songs by this band. They're playing in St. Paul this weekend. For the first time in about 4 years. It was 2011, the last time they played in Minneapolis at the 7th Street Entry. And they're coming back, and I just can't wait to see them again. Enough about it. Here's something from the Damwells. Let's go back to their debut, Bastards from the Beat. What You Get, Steel Belted Radio.
Anything that we would dare. Say what you wanna say. Do what you wanna do. Say what you wanna say. Go and say what you will.
cheek, ring my ear, merry hit list, happy new feel. You so fine, when you're not mine. I'll be your accidental man, you be my circumstantial lover. I'm here to ruin all your plans, I'm here to steal you from your mother. I'll be your accidental man, you be my worst kept secret. I'll come and take you by the hand, but you can take it all and keep it. Circumstantial lover, I'm here to ruin all your plans, I'm here to steal you from your mother. I'll be your accidental man, you be my worst kept secret. I'll come and take you by the hand, but you can take it all and keep it. I'll be your accidental man, you be my circumstantial lover. I'm here to ruin all your plans, I'm here to steal you from your mother. I'll be your accidental man, you be my worst kept secret. I'll come and take you by the hand, but you can take it all and keep it. I'll be your accidental man, I'll be your accidental man, I'll be your accidental man, I'll be your accidental man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I might love that band a little bit. That's the Damwells from their brand new record, self-titled record. We heard Money and Shiny Things. We heard She Goes Around off the previous record. No one listens to the band anymore. From Air Stereo, we heard Accidental Man, and from Bastards of the Beat. Can you believe I screwed up the name of a Damwells record in that intro? I must be giddy. We heard What You Get, and the Damwells are playing St. Paul, Minneapolis, essentially. Coming up on the weekend for the first time in 4 years. So 2011, they played in Minneapolis. And in 2010, we had the great pleasure of talking to Alex from the Damwells, the leader of that motley bunch, on this very program. And I thought, why not listen to it again? So let's go back to May 27th of 2010. And have a chat with Alex Deason. I will mention one thing at the end of the thing. I ask him what song he wants to hear, and then you know, 5 years ago I played it, but he picked kind of a slow song. I want to keep the rockin' songs going tonight because it's Steel Belted Radio. I'll play the mellower ones on Sunday, and I think he'd be okay with it because the reason he wanted the song that he picked was he wanted to send it out to his wife, and since they broke up and. He wrote an album of breakup songs about it. I think he wouldn't mind if he didn't have to hear it tonight. So we're not going to play that song. We're going to play something else. I'm going to shut up. Here's Alex from the Damwells.
We're very pleased to be joined by Alex from the Damwells. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how are you?
We're great. And did you know you had rabid fans here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Alex?
I had no idea. If I had known, I would have become a Canadian citizen a long time ago.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that, all right, in the meantime. But can you give a, you know, for the folks, for the one or two folks who might not have heard the Damwells yet, why don't you give the brief history, the brief abridged history of the band?
Yeah, sure. Well, the band formed about 10 years ago in Brooklyn, New York. It was formed basically by me and the bass player, who both went to this tiny little college in upstate New York, and we moved to the city. We started playing together. Eventually, we found some other cohorts, and then we pretty much started going out on tour immediately, and we're playing all over the country, opening up for a bunch of different bands. The only couple times we played in Canada was when we were opening up for the Dixie Chicks in Toronto and Ottawa, which was pretty cool. And now we've kind of, the original drummer and guitar player left about 5 years ago, and so we've been working with a rotating cast of characters on drums and on guitar, and that's how we've made the last two records.
Yeah, basically, I mean, as far as the band goes, the only thing consistent on every track is you. I mean, even Ted wasn't on much of the last record.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, the One Last Century was a weird kind of transition record because we weren't really sure if we were coming or going or what we were doing. But I thought, you know, I make music, so I should probably make another record and just, you know, see what happens afterward.
Yeah. Now, a lot of what we know about the band, we know from a movie called Golden Days, which I certainly have watched a number of times. I don't even know how to describe it. It's such an honest movie. I mean, did you have any qualms about like being so open and upfront in a movie? Did you?
Well, I mean, the original plan was for this guy to come on board and make a movie about us becoming huge giant rock stars.
Yeah.
And it just
the
so
plot changed.
That, yeah, the plot thickened at the very least. No, I was actually really. You know, there were certainly times when I was a little weary about this guy being around there with a camera while we were, you know, kind of, we felt anyway like we were circling the drain. but it actually wound up being an incredible gift to have someone who was there documenting the whole thing. You know, it's like no matter what anybody says, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage, you know, that prove that we were there, you know, that prove that we did what we did.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. I mean, the movie sort of chronicles you making the Air Stereo record when you got picked up by the big record label and stuff, and putting that together. And then, of course, you know, the plot thickened, as you said, when when the record label dropped you, and just as the record was sort of coming together and everything. So obviously that was a real tough time for the band, and you can see that in the movie. And even actually at the end of the movie, it's kind of like where are we now and what happens now, and then they kind of just stick on some credits at the end that sort of say, you know, what became of all the members. But even like sort of at that time, were you sort of uncertain that the band was even going to continue?
I think at the time we just kind of you know, put our heads down and muscled through it. But that was about, you know, so where the movie leaves off is us going out to join the Dixie Chicks on tour. We were pretty excited at that point because though we had been dropped by Epic, the record had been picked up by Rounder, which was another great record label, and we found ourselves on this tour, and we're headed out for another big tour afterward. So we thought, you know, it felt at that time that we had really, that our perseverance had paid off. And then, you know, essentially we thought about, should we make another record? What should we do? The drummer had a child and kind of wanted to settle down. The guitar player was kind of thinking of settling down. I went to graduate school, and then, you know, it was like, well, what are we doing as a band? I don't know. So I just decided to continue. And anybody who wanted to, you know, come along was welcome. And I think we all plan on playing together again one day. It wasn't like we broke up in a, you know, in a nasty kind of hateful way. It was, it was totally amicable. It was just, well, you know, see you around, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so you were talking about the making of the record sort of after that, One Last Century, and that was just sort of, I mean, judging by the number of people that were on it and stuff, obviously you sort of recorded it in fits and starts here and there, and I mean, did you even know that it was going to be a record when you were recording most of that stuff?
No, you know, it's funny you say that. I really didn't. At the time, I just, I had a friend who had a studio in Oxford, Mississippi. His name is Andrew Radcliffe. Tweed Recording is a studio. He just asked if we wanted to come down and make a record, and I was like, well, I don't know, there isn't really a band right now. And he just said, well, just come down and make a record, you know, whatever, you don't need a band. And that wound up being One Last Century.
Wow, that's pretty neat. And it, I don't know, if you ask me, I think it turned out okay, even under those circumstances. You know, I'm a big fan of that record.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And it also came out in under rather unusual circumstances. I mean, when you first started talking about the record, it sounded like you were going to put it out with a label or something, and then, you know, you just kind of went, screw it, let's just put it out for free.
yeah, that was like one of those moves where you think, well, what if I do everything that seems like the total wrong idea? Like, instead of having people pay for the record, why don't I just give it away and see what happens? And it wound up being a really good idea. It was actually our manager's idea. And it was really great because we gave this record away for free, and it just, I just felt really good to be able to do that. You know, there's so much pressure on musicians to deliver, you know, in a commercial sense, to sell records, you know, to sell tickets, sell t-shirts, whatever. So it's nice to just say, you know, there's no, you know, there's nothing on this record other than, you know, whatever you want to bring to it. You know, there's nothing riding on it. You know, we're just giving it away.
It's really interesting. I mean, when you put out a record normally, obviously you can tell how many copies it's sold, and you can, you know, get reviews and stuff. But when you give away a record for free, is there a way to gauge whether, you know, people are actually downloading it and what they're doing with it and whether they like it and stuff? Do you get that same kind of feedback from a record that's just put out digitally for free in the initial?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you give a record away for free, it's in the hopes that people will pay for the stuff that's going to make you money, which is,
right,
you know, coming to shows, you know, buying merchandise, things like that. I mean, it's really hard to make money just selling records.
Yeah.
It's much easier to just show up in a town like Chicago or, you know, or New York and
or
play
Winnipeg
for 400 people and, you know, and make a couple $1,000s. That just takes a couple hours worth of work, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And what got all those people there is the record you gave away for free. And when we were giving the record away for free, we had an email list. So essentially, you know, you gave us an email address and we gave you the record. So not only could we monitor, you know, how many people were downloading it, but we also got, you know, thousands and thousands of email addresses and then sent those people, you know, updates about shows and things like that. So it actually worked out really well.
So, I mean, did that sort of reinvigorate you and like, want to make you do it again? It seemed like, you know, like we said, you kind of had the air taken out of the tires, and then you weren't sure you were even making a record. You just kind of made this thing. And now did the response to that and the way people signed up for that list, did that kind of go like, yeah, we got to keep going. We got to keep doing this.
Yeah, it was really powerful. I mean, I think that at that time, when I put out One Last Century, I just kind of thought, well, you know, this is a nice little record. We'll see if anybody cares. And a lot of people cared, more people than I thought would care. So that was really a huge affirmation for me personally, because, you know, I didn't really know if maybe I would have to call it quits and, you know, do something else, though I can't really do anything else. So that was a huge boost, you know, and after that record came out and we started playing shows, and people started showing up to see us play, you know, it just felt like we had been given new life.
Yeah. And I mean, the record itself is, it seems like a very personal record for you. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here that sounds like it comes directly from your life and stuff. Again, was that sort of you know, an intentionally sort of a reflective phase for you or something with this record? Or,
well, I didn't think anybody was going to hear it.
Yeah, true enough.
Well, you know, I think at the time I was, you know, there was a lot to reflect on at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of, essentially, it felt like I'd lost, you know, half of my band, if not all of my band. So there was no one else, there was no one to listen to me complain. So I just kind of turned it on the ear of the fan, you know, and
yeah,
kind of told them my complaints. But yeah, it was just all around an important record to make. At the time, it didn't really feel like it was. You know, it just kind of felt like, oh, we'll just throw these songs together, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's strange how that works, because that record wound up being probably the most important record that we'll ever make, you know, for many, many reasons.
Yeah. And it led to this, you guys have been working on a new record for quite some time now, and it's been great for us, the fans, to track it, because we get to be part of it. We I guess, helped you make it. Whose idea was that to ask us to pay for the darn thing before you made it?
That was our manager's idea. Wes Kidd is like the fifth damn well. You know, he just kind of put the whole, it just kind of came together in a brilliant way. You know, we'd give this record away, which is One Last Century.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we got about, you know, 35,000 email addresses, and then we emailed all those people and said, okay, now we're making another record. We're looking for, you know, fan pledges. And so it just kind of, you know, and then money started coming in for the new record based on the email addresses we had gotten from One Last Century.
Right.
So it just kind of worked out perfectly.
Were you surprised by the response to that? Were you surprised by how much money you got? Because you actually went over your target, right?
Yeah. I mean, essentially, if you're not surprised by your success, I feel like, then, you know, then either you're delusional and lucky or, you know, who knows. But, I mean, I'm always surprised whenever, you know, whenever people show up, if there's 50 people that show up in a club to see us play, I'm surprised, you know. And as soon as you start anticipating, well, there better be, you know, 2,000 people that show up or I'm going to, you know, or it's not going to be worth it, or, you know, we better make, you know, $50,000 or something, or it's not going to be worth it, then you're only going to be disappointed, you know. So
yeah,
I was definitely surprised, but very excited.
And I can tell by reading the message boards and stuff that obviously there's a great anticipation. It's not just us in this room that are eagerly awaiting this record, but the fans are eagerly awaiting it as well. And you've done some neat things as far as throwing out some demos and stuff like that and asking people what they think should be on there and stuff like that. So, I mean, is this a different record for you in the terms that, I mean, there's more input than just the band going into this thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, even on the band level, there's way more input than there ever has been. I mean, usually when the Dan Wells made records, I'd come in with a bunch of songs, and the band would rehearse them a couple times, you know, or we'd play them on the road or whatever, and then we would just go and record them.
Yeah.
But for this record, we've actually taken some songs and parts and things and brought in other people to help write different parts, like bridges and rearrange parts. And so on the music level, it really felt like was way more of a collaborative kind of process, and I think that was the mirror of what was happening in the pledge drive, which was, you know, that I was putting out these demos and kind of, you know, getting together people's thoughts and ideas, fans' thoughts and ideas about songs they would want to hear on the record, and so the whole nature of this record has been collaborative, and it's been really exciting, you know.
You must have thousands of songs. I mean, just watching the Golden Days movie at the end, there's like that, there's all these unreleased songs on there and stuff. And I know there's a bunch of fans that have websites and stuff where they post like songs that you've done for other things that haven't come out on the records and stuff. Are you just writing songs like all the time or what?
Well, in my 20s, my job was to be a songwriter. So that's all I did was I just sat around and wrote songs. I mean, you know, I think I drank a couple of probably 100,000 gallons of whiskey, but I also wrote a lot of songs. I mean, that was my only job. And I felt like, you know, when I was, cause this is when I was, you know, we were on a major record label. I had a publishing deal with Warner Chappell, and you know, they'd given me this money, and I thought, well, I better give them what they pay for, you know?
Yeah.
So I wrote a lot of songs. And then after the publishing deal, after the record deal was gone, I just kind of felt like, well, now I have to write even more songs, you know, because... you know, because now nobody cares. So I wrote a lot of songs in my 20s, and they weren't all, you know, that great, but there was a lot of them.
Right.
So now I'm just kind of writing, you know, not as many songs, but I'm hoping that the quality is much better, you know, so I don't have to write as many.
Does that make it easier or harder to make this record when you, I guess, like you say, don't have quite as many coming out? Are they more focused and better suited to the record, or do you feel like you have to kind of, you know, sometimes work to fit something else into the record?
Well, this record is definitely, I mean, way more focused as far as like the song craft and just kind of thinking about track listing and song ordering. And you know, essentially this record is going to have, you know, 10 songs. And most of our records have like 13 songs or 14 songs or 16 songs. This is just going to be a 10-song record, and it's going to be 10 of the best songs.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that we believe we have.
Right.
And so a lot of them I wrote just specifically for this record. Some of them were like, you know, from a year ago or a couple years ago. But it's, you know, I guess with there being not as many songs to choose from, you know, they've all got to be really, really good. And if they're not, then they have to be reworked. And that was where we got into the studio and started collaborating and changing things around, rewriting a verse or whatever, just to kind of take what we had and edit and revise, which is like a whole alien concept to, I feel like, to most songwriters in their early going is, you know, nobody revises. Nobody, you know, you just...
Yeah.
You know, I wrote the song. It came through me, you know, the muse. You know, the Mia's can use some polishing.
Yeah, she could use some help now and again.
Yeah.
Can we say, is there an idea sort of sonically what it's going to be like? I mean, the last record, One Last Century, was a little bit more mellow and a little bit more acoustic, I guess, than Air Stereo. Do we know where that'll where the new one will fit in?
Well, this new one is definitely going to be more of a rock record, I guess. I mean, it's hard for me to say because when I say a rock record, you know, I have one idea, you have another. So it's definitely more in the, you know, there's more guitars, there's more loud things, but it's also an arrangement thing too. You know, just the arrangement of instruments and stuff is far more complex than what we did on One Last Century. So in that regard, it's just sonically wider, maybe as opposed to louder. But it's I think it's going to be an exciting record. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be slow. It's going to be fast. It's going to be, you know, all the things you come to expect from a Van Wells record, but better.
Right on. So where's it at? When do you think we'll get to hear this thing finally?
Well, the record is being mixed now. It's almost finished being mixed. So I'm hoping that we'll have it out in the next, you know, by the middle of the summer, end of the summer.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much on its way to being finished. Well, so what we have to do is we have to fulfill these commitments to all the people who have pledged by getting a copy of the record.
Yeah.
And, you know, going and playing in their living rooms and stuff, which, you know, at the time seemed like such a great idea. And now it's like,
that's a bit of a pain in the ass to get to all these places, I guess, right?
Exactly. So we have quite a bit of work ahead of us.
Well, I'm sure you'll hold up your end of the bargain. We were counting our pennies here, but to get you to come to Canada was a little bit much for us to cobble together, the three of us. So we're going to have to get you to come and do a proper show or something, not at one of our living rooms.
That would be fantastic.
What do you think it'll take? Can we get you up here one of these days?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love, just got to give me a ton of Canadian beer.
Well, we've got lots of that. There's no doubt about that. Is there plans to start? I mean, you guys haven't done a whole lot of touring and stuff in the past couple of years, and it's been sort of, you know, shows here and there. But is there plans for a tour behind this record?
Yeah, there's. The plan really is to kind of, you know, hit it in a way like when we were 20.
Really?
Do a lot of touring and relentless playing shows. But what we're going to do is try to focus on those places where we want to make new fans, where we have fans already, and the places in between. So it's not going to be the four guys driving around in a van so much as it will be, you know, four adults driving around the van with families and, you know, trying to figure out how to make it work for the fans and for the band so that we can, you know, continue to do what we do.
Yeah.
But we're gonna do a lot of touring once this record comes out.
Well, that's good. You know, we don't mind driving to Minneapolis if we have to.
Yeah. Okay.
we prefer Fargo, maybe. You played Fargo about 4 or 5 years ago.
And yeah, that was we played in a bowling alley. Nobody came. I don't think we're going back to Fargo.
Yeah. See, and it's our fault because we were gonna come, and I stopped the guys from coming, so we would have
been the only people there.
Well, that makes me feel even worse for not coming, but thanks. I was just mentioning it's my biggest regret in life, and now it's just gotten worse. Thank you very much.
And we're good bowlers, jerk. On top of that.
Yeah. But, you know, well, Winnipeg is better than Fargo anyway, so we'll talk. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Do you know what the record's going to be called? Is that allowed to be released, or...?
Well, we're kind of toying around with a couple ideas. I don't really know yet what we're going to go with, so I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. Although I don't know if that works in Canada, so I'll just have to say, no, I'm not telling you.
All right. Well, can folks still give you money through Pledge Music? Is that still open?
Yeah, the drive is still open. We just decided that after, you know, the initial drive, the Pledge drive had expired, that we would just leave it open. And people can donate little or as much as they want. It's really simple. I mean, you pay $12 and you will, when the record is completed and mastered and everything, you'll just get an email.
Yeah.
Says, you know, go pick up your record at this website and you can download it and listen to it. So it's kind of you know, it's still available and it's going to help us to make a better record.
There are some amazing packages there and stuff, and I don't mind telling you. I mean we all pledged here generously, but some of that stuff I think you undervalued yourself. We felt like we should have paid more. We're getting like a CD and a T-shirt and all kinds of stuff for like $20, and we feel like we should have paid more. So we did.
Yeah, I think you should have paid more too.
But, you know, so folks can still get on that, and there's some amazing, like, demos and videos and all kinds of neat stuff that you can get through there. And you can get that all through your website. You got the link there, right?
Yeah, the link is to our pledge site. It's through thedamwells.com.
Yes.
And, yeah, I think there's something like 19 different MP3s you can download. And
yeah.
A ton of video footage from us in the studio and blogs and all kinds of other, you know, fun things like that. So you get, I think you do get more than you bargain for.
Well, for sure, and like I say, it's sort of building the anticipation. We're seeing this record coming. I think in a lot of ways, a lot of the problem with music is that people's attention spans are short these days, and this way, like, nobody forgets about you because you're constantly sending updates and you're still telling us that you're out there and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, you're gonna hold on to the fans real well with this record, and folks are gonna like it and stuff. So it's gonna be great. All right, Alex, we want to play. Should we play one more from One Last Century? Is that the place to go? I guess so, eh? Do you have any particular favorites on that record that you think we should play for people?
How about, did you play Dandelion yet?
Not yet.
Dandelion's a good one. I'm actually walking around this beautiful garden in Chicago with my wife, and that's the two of us singing together, so she'll be excited to know that I played that for her on the radio.
Well, perfect. Alex, it is such a pleasure to talk to you, and please know that there are some fans just dying to see you up here in Canada, and if we can help you make that happen, we'll be waiting for you up here.
Wow, well, that's wonderful. We'll be there.
We will eagerly be awaiting the new record. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Hold on for a second, if you don't mind. Here's one more from the Damwells on Steel Belted Radio.
Thank you.
A couple more from the Damwells. That's The Sound from Bastards of the Beat, and Kentexas from the new record, the self-titled record. Pick that up, boy. It's a doozy, and maybe we'll see some Winnipeggers out at the shows coming up this weekend. Tune in on Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. for Tell the Band to Go Home. I'll play you some Malware Damwells and a bunch of other stuff. And then next Thursday, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, Steel Butthead Radio. Maybe I'll actually come down to the station for a change. It seems like it's been a long time. I don't know. Tune in for that. And stay tuned for Venus Envy, Punks and Parkas, Ultrasonic Film. Thanks, everybody.